Radio EcoShock.
The more rational a culture seems to be, the more irrational will be its underside when the dark times come, the veils lift, and more is revealed than most want to see. Those are the words of Michael Mead in his seminal article, Why the World Doesn't End. It is also the opening quote in another piece called The Really Big Transition, Saying Goodbye to the Enlightenment, Saying Hello to Consciousness. The author is a friend of this program, Carolyn Baker. Actually, that is Dr. Carolyn Baker, a psychotherapist in private practice and former adjunct professor of history and psychology, now living in Colorado. I hear from Carolyn every day through her email update of pithy news about a world in trouble, but at the bottom of that page, Carolyn also sends her solutions links with tips about things you and I can do. She's a thought leader and writer for Transition Colorado. And I promise, whatever dark times we do talk about, we'll get to some of those solutions in the end. I invited Carolyn to Radio EcoShock because I'm wrestling with my own problem, as you listeners may know. Science is telling us humans are in the process of wrecking the world for life as we know it. But very few of us are really responding. We just keep wasting the planet. We pollute the land, the sea, the atmosphere, as though there's no tomorrow, and maybe there won't be. Why is reason failing? As we look for alternatives, how can we avoid the pitfalls of past superstition, not to mention the just plain craziness so prevalent on the internet? So to help us with all that, Carolyn Baker, welcome back to Radio EcoShock.
Well, it's wonderful to be back. Thank you so much for inviting me.
All right. Well, I want to start at this point. Here on the West Coast, you can go to a retreat to believe anything.
I'm sure. I used to live in California.
And we get to a place that we call the woo-woo factor, and that's the point where people go all glassy-eyed and they're convinced that mysticism will change the world, maybe including car addiction or coal burning in China, I suppose. Is that where you want to take us?
No. You know, mysticism is making a huge return right now in modern culture, actually. If you look at the popularity of some of the mystical poets like Rumi, Kabir, Hafiz, and you just look at the kind of returning popularity of poetry in general, you kind of get a feel for this returning mysticism. And some people equate that with superstition or, you know, this is irrational. How is it going to help us solve any problems? But in fact, you know, the crux of my work is helping us bring together the scientific, the rational, with the mystical, with the beyond rational, I like to call it. Because I think that's where we're going. We're going into an age not of science or of spirituality, but an age of consciousness where the two of those are going to be integrated in a lot of different ways.
Well, it kind of reminds me of that old detective show that used to be on radio. It was somebody who was looking for the facts and nothing but the facts. But that isn't who we are.
Well, it's not only not who we are. It just is no longer appropriate in dealing with the challenges that we are being confronted with right now. You know, I've written in this article that I recently posted and that I sent you, The Really Big Transition, Saying Goodbye to the Enlightenment, Saying Hello to Consciousness. I wrote in there about the Enlightenment and how it came about in the 17th and 18th centuries, why it was important in human history. But one of the legacies of the Enlightenment was that everything is getting better and better all the time because man is this rational animal who's just improving, improving, improving. And out of that assumption came the Industrial Revolution and this notion of infinite progress and infinite growth. And now we're discovering that that is just, it served a purpose at one point, but it's no longer appropriate because it flies in the face of reality, which is infinite growth is over. And I like to say you can have all the growth you want on the inside in your consciousness. And so, you know, where we're moving right now is, well, what do we do? We're not growing anymore, So what do we do? Well, what we do is we're being compelled to turn inside, not to become irrational, not to reject some of the really important contributions of the Enlightenment, but to go beyond those. And because the Enlightenment and science have their limitations, spirituality has its limitations, and bringing those two together to serve each other is what I like to think of as consciousness. And that's where we're moving right now. And, you know, the psychologist Carl Jung said that any time we increase our consciousness, there's a price to pay. Consciousness is not won, W-O-N, without a great struggle. So we're in that struggle right now, and it's going to be frightening. It's going to be painful, challenging, daunting, enlivening, exciting. There may be even moments of joy and an incredible reunion with ourselves and each other, but it's going to be a mix.
But you do write about the sacred. One of your most famous books is titled Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse. Well, here on Radio EcoShock, I spend most of my time interviewing scientists. How are the sacred and science supposed to get along?
Well, in that article that I just mentioned, recently published and now on my website at carolynbaker.net, I talk about the new cosmology. You know, in 2009, we lost a wonderful philosopher and a man who called himself a geologian, not a theologian, although he was a theologian. Thomas Berry was a Catholic priest, a PhD in history. And he began to really look at the universe in terms of the universe having a story that human beings needed to understand, because the story of the universe, which he called the great story, and our own personal stories so much intermingle and overlap. So his life experience of developing a conscious relationship with the earth really led him to explore this great story, and he began talking about how we are at the end of the Cenozoic age and now moving into the Ecozoic age, which is going to expand our awareness and our stewardship of the earth. And science actually has given us incredible tools for understanding this great story. One of my favorite people these days is a guy named Brian Swim, who is a mathematical cosmologist living in Northern California. And he's worked a lot very closely on a number of projects with Thomas Berry. And he talks about the powers of the universe. He has this wonderful DVD series called The Powers of the Universe. And the rationale of this is that we've got to understand, he says, what it means to be a human. In other words, knowing our human identity in terms of the planet, because all other identities are secondary. So in the Powers of the Universe series, it explores how these powers also reside within us and how an enhanced consciousness of our intimate relationship with the universe enables us to live these powers in the world. And integrating the great story with our own story is not about navel-gazing, but about deepening and enlivening our relationships with all of the Earth community. And understanding science and how the universe has played out in very scientific and rational terms helps us understand our own story and our place here on this planet.
Even though it makes me nervous, I do have a feeling of the sacred myself. You know, I picture myself walking along a ridge in Appalachia. There's the deer, there's the birds, there's the waters, all the way it works. And then somebody comes along and just blows the whole top off that mountain, or they dig out a large part of Alberta for the tar sands. I find that outrageous, and it's because I do have the sense that there are sacred things on Earth that you can't do that to.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think what you are articulating is an instinctual connection that you feel with the earth, that you're not over here someplace and the earth is over there someplace, but that the stuff of the stars is within your nervous system. The blood, so-called, of the rivers flows in your veins. And, you know, that's just who we are as human beings. We sense our connection with the earth. If we don't, something has really been shut off within us. And so to have that sensitivity, to have that sense of connection, is sometimes very painful as you talk about, and it's also very inspiring and enlivening and can really infuse us with a passion to protect and preserve what is left of our earth and to become more of who we are as a result of savoring that connection that we have with the earth.
This is Radio EcoShock with writer, psychotherapist, and teacher Carolyn Baker. Carolyn, I get some emails from listeners or Facebook messages saying things like, I've decided not to have children after hearing your show, or even intimations of suicide. Are we missing the key tools we need to face these awful things like climate change or economic collapse?
Well, I think that we are. Now, in terms of having children, I think there are a number of reasons right now not to have children. You know, I have published on my website recently some pretty daunting information about climate change. And included in that information is a presentation by Guy McPherson and a number of other scientists really recently collected data pretty much in 2011 and 2012 on the rise in temperature of the planet and how it may be that this planet will only be inhabitable for another 30 to 40 years. So, you know, I think people have to look very long and hard and really soul search a great deal about having children. I think that's really important. But suicide, you know, it's like my work is really about helping people come to a place within themselves where they realize that there's something more important even than their own physical survival. That they may not survive all of these daunting challenges and things that may actually bring forth extinction. But what really matters is coming to a place of finding meaning in all of this, finding one's life purpose, deciding what one is going to do with the time one has left. Am I just going to shrivel up and crawl in a hole and do myself in? Or am I going to use these experiences and these events as an opportunity to give the gifts that I came here with and to make a difference in my little world, even if I can't make a difference in the big world? That we all have something to give. We all have something to contribute. And it really, I believe, is our obligation to find out what that is and do it.
Well, the strange thing is, most of the time, I am happier discovering the truth, even if it is harsh, and I also make a point of looking for joy every day, and it is there, and it pops out at you when you don't expect it, and then I treasure it, and I kind of feed off of that, and that's what helps keep me going.
Absolutely. There's a wonderful website called Radical Joy for Tough Times. You can just Google it. Trebby Johnson is the woman's name who manages the website, Radical Joy for Hard Times. You know, it's like, I love that website because it really, I think, encourages us to look for places of joy in our lives. And no matter how bleak things are, there are places of joy in our lives, and they may be very simple, and we may have to do some looking, but they are there. And, you know, I find that working together in community with people to prepare, you know, starting projects together, building community together. In my case, I'm part of a heart and soul group here in Boulder, Colorado, and there are many heart and soul groups around the world where we get together and we talk about these things in terms of emotional and spiritual preparation. All of those things bring joy, as well as creating beauty on a daily basis, finding beauty in one's life, whether it be through art, music, poetry, theater. All of these can enliven us and bring us more passion and more joy and more juice in our lives.
Well, I've got to agree with that. But getting back, I guess, to the dark side, a few weeks ago I interviewed Dr. Paul Ehrlich. He just published a scientifically reviewed paper in the Royal Society asking whether we can avoid a collapse of industrial civilization. Well, the scientists are a little late to that party. When did you start to see we had problems that have no rational solutions?
Well, my journey on this kind of began back in 2000 when I met Mike Rupert, and I began to subscribe to From the Wilderness, the website that he had at that time. I just began to research and ask a lot of questions. You know, I would say from about 2000 to 2007, I was looking at these challenges and kind of seeing them individually as different dots, you know, that were out there that we have to contend with. But in 2007, I saw a magnificent documentary, which I'm sure many listeners have seen, What a Way to Go, Life at the End of Empire. And that, for me, began to connect all of these dots so that I was able to then begin to name what was happening, which is the collapse of industrial civilization and the paradigm on which it's built. So at that point, you know, I thought, well, you know, this could be pretty depressing stuff unless we have some reason to go through this, unless we can find some meaning in this process. And that's when I began to make notes that eventually became my book, Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse. And then I took that a couple of steps further in 2011 with the publication of Navigating the Coming Chaos, a handbook for inner transition.
All right. Well, just before we get to some of the positive solutions I have found in your daily newsletter, let's get to the nitty-gritty. What kind of spirituality are you proposing?
I am not proposing any particular kind of spirituality. I think everyone needs to find his or her own path. But I think a spirituality that is based on earth wisdom, that deeply connects with the earth and our place in it, is very, very important. And, you know, a person might say, well, spirituality, I don't know what that is. I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic. Well, it really is just about going out and appreciating the earth, to go out and sit in the dirt and let it sift through your fingers, to taste and smell the earth, to just be very present with the silence around you or the animals around you. That's a spiritual experience because it really encompasses your depths, your soul, your being. So it's not about finding a particular spirituality, but really just being open to that kind of wisdom, that path. Some people find it helpful to study a little bit of the wisdom, great wisdom traditions, Native American spirituality, Buddhism, other paths, and many people like to just kind of integrate all of those. It really is about being open to where you're being guided.
You are tuned to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith, talking about science and the sacred with Dr. Carolyn Baker. Carolyn, I know you write for the Colorado edition of Transition Times. How is transition going in Colorado?
Well, it's actually going very well. Here in Boulder County, we have a project that is kind of usurping everything else at the moment called the Local Food Shift. This is a project in which we are trying very hard to get this county to be able to feed itself within a few years. And one of the ways that this is happening is through getting investors to invest in local food, and that is being very successful. We're getting consumers to take a 10% pledge in which they're pledging to spend at least 10% of their food budget on local foods. And so you can go to localfoodshift.com and read more about that. It's a very exciting project, and I'm proud to be part of it.
Well, if someone wants to get involved with Transition Town, the movement in America or anywhere in the world, how do they make that connection?
Transition US. It's just Transition US. That's all one word, transitionus.org.
Good enough. Okay, and I'll put links to that and other transition sites in other countries, how to find it. There's a good map of all that. I'll put that in my blog at ecoshock.info. Let's get to a couple of your favorites, maybe from the many ideas that come up daily, of things that people could do to get started.
Well, the things that I tell people in my life coaching practice, which I'd like to say a little bit about in a moment, is you first of all have to understand you cannot do this alone. When a person first begins to awaken to the magnitude of what we're facing, it can be extremely overwhelming. And, you know, you've had Kathy McMahon on your program and others who've talked about how at first you can feel like you're going crazy. It can be a very schizophrenic kind of feeling. And it's just too overwhelming to be alone with. So I highly recommend that people look around for either a transition group or some other group, or possibly an online forum, where you can dialogue with other people about what's going on. You can share your feelings about it. You can engage together in different projects of preparation. I would say that's the first thing. You know, continue to read, watch documentaries, but really, really get involved. And then start looking at your own personal preparation. Where do you live? Is that a place that is likely to sustain you or provide you with maximum sustainability, maximum support in the event that, you know, all of the systems really, really break down and you find yourself being really challenged to find food and water and that sort of thing? It's kind of like there are certain steps and they play out differently for each person, but I say that having a support system of some kind is kind of up there at the top.
That's The Clash, and this is Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with author, activist, and teacher Carolyn Baker. Carolyn, I've been agonizing about whether we should move back to the country. Should we stay in the city and fight this beast, or get ready to feed ourselves as the big system collapses? And then finally I realized we should move, and I'm talking about me personally, myself and my wife, we should move, not out of fear, but because we want to. I need to get my hands in the dirt. I need to feel nature around me. I'm hoping to move next year to be happy no matter what the world does. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that's wonderful because what I'm hearing you're saying is really that there's something that's calling you, something that's leading or pulling you to a different kind of lifestyle. Just the fact that you say, I want to get my hands in the dirt. Yeah, you could do that perhaps in urban farming in the city, but it sounds like there's something greater, like you have a greater picture of this. And I say to anyone who feels drawn in that direction, by all means, follow the pull.
And you talked about your coaching services. What are you doing there?
Well, I'd like to just clarify one thing. You've called me a psychotherapist, and I used to be a psychotherapist. Currently, I'm not. I do life coaching, however, and the reason for this is that often as we prepare for the future, we find ourselves facing personal or relationship challenges that we need some help moving through. And life coaching is not the same as psychotherapy. Basically, it assumes that all of the answers are already within each person. So my role is to be a catalyst to facilitate the individual in accessing those answers that lie within. And if anyone wants to find out more about it, just simply email me at carolyn@carolynbaker.net.
And what are some of the most common problems that people seek your help for?
I would say the top two problems would be relationships where someone has become awakened to collapse and the need to prepare for it, and their partner doesn't want to hear anything about it and is, you know, terrified or angry or is pushing back in some way against that. And the person really needs support and direction for how to proceed. Another situation is where a person may have lost their job or no longer want to do the job that they're doing anymore because they really feel a need to give their gifts elsewhere. And so maybe they're wanting some support and guidance in reinventing themselves. Other situations might be the one that you just talked about personally with relocating. You know, I need to relocate somewhere, and I don't know where that place might be that's best for me. So those are some examples.
Well, you know, now that Dear Abby's passed away, I'd love to hear you do your own radio show. I'm picturing a call-in show with advice for hard times and ways to better times. And I know you're super busy already, and we have talked about this a little bit, but I'm looking forward to the day when I can download your podcast or listen to you on the air.
Well, I would love to do it too, and I am definitely consciously working to move in that direction. And speaking of podcasts, I do have several at my website, carolynbaker.net. Some are free, some are very reasonably priced, but I see a radio show in my future.
And what about your daily sheet of headlines? Tell us about that.
Thank you for asking. The Daily News Digest is published 7 days a week unless I'm traveling. This is a unique service because not only does it provide carefully selected and bundled news pertaining to collapse, but it also provides extensive options for dealing with the news that you're reading. In the options section, you'll find a lot of good news about how people all over the world are dealing with the challenges of our time. So to learn more about subscribing, visit carolynbaker.net and click on the subscription tab.
Okay, well, I'm going to put links to Carolyn's work in my show blog at ecoshock.info, but you can find the hub of all that, as she says, at carolynbaker.net. I am a subscriber. Carolyn, thank you so much for your help.
Well, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me on your show.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.